we wave high the flag of freedom as a patriotic reminder to never take our independence for granted. Fireworks explode into the night sky, lighting up the darkness, reminding us of our nation's calling in the world. One nation under God. We look into the sky and remember that for all the freedom we have to celebrate, we must never forget our dependence on God. It was by His hand we were afforded our independence, so we might stand for liberty, remembering He set us free from the bondage of sin. So we might stand for justice, for the Lord loves justice, and He will not forsake His saints. So we might stand for freedom, because we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We thank You, God, for the beautiful gift of our country. May we always depend on You to sustain us.
Amen. May that be the prayer of our heart, that the Lord would allow us that privilege, that strength from His Spirit, that He will sustain us as we seek to honor Him living in this nation of ours. And there are many challenges, and I know that you're aware, if you just watch television or cable or those kind of things, or if you say, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm just going to watch Facebook and get my news from them, or get my news from YouTube or Twitter or, I hope not, TikTok, but any of those kind of things, you'll discover that there are many challenges that are facing our nation. And one of the things that we can do as a people of God is to continue to pray for our nation, to pray for our country, and to pray for our leaders, even if they are leaders who have been elected and they don't see eye to eye every jot and tittle that we believe, but we can pray for them. Because the Spirit of God is greater than the spirit that's in this world. And the Spirit of God is greater than anything, because the Holy Spirit can work and move as the Lord, His will is accomplished, because He's sovereign, He's on the throne. He who spoke the world into being, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, boom, it happened. And the Lord did that. God is in control. And so we, His people, who are called by His name, as Chronicles tells us, we need to humble ourselves. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to seek His face continually, knowing that as we do, He will hear, He will heal our land. That should be our prayer. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with us. We're going to be looking at several verses this morning, and as we think about celebrating the freedom we have in Christ, Galatians chapter 5, if you would turn there with me, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. A great chapter in Galatians, really talks about walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh, in that terminology of Scripture, or living in the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit. And the first verse of chapter 5, verse 1 says this: "For freedom, Christ has set us free." For freedom, Christ has set us free. "Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Os Guinness, a writer, said this. He said, "We are rapidly reaching the point in Western consumer societies where people confuse freedom with choice, as they are dazzled daily by an ever-expanding array of external choices in consumer goods and lifestyle options." He goes on and says, "But the pursuit of freedom has led to a surfeit of choices and a scarcity of meaning and value, a point at which choice itself, rather than the content of any choice, has become the heart of freedom. The result is that modern people value choice rather than good choice. In other words, we equate that ability for us to choose with freedom. Oh, I'm free as long as I can choose. And sometimes, if that's taken away, we say we are not free. Bruce Ware, writing in his book, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, says this: freedom is not what our culture tells us it is. Freedom is not my deciding from the urges and longings of my sinful nature to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, with whom I want to do it. According to the Bible, that is bondage, not freedom. Rather, true freedom is living as Jesus lived, for he is the freest human being who ever lived. He goes on and writes, in fact, he is the only full free human being who has ever lived, and one day we will be set free fully when we always and only do the will of God. So what is freedom? Amazingly, Jesus' answer is this: freedom is submitting fully to the will of God, to the words of God, and to the work and the call God has for us to do. If we were to look at that word in Galatians 5:1 and also in Corinthians, as we look into the word, we see there again the verses: for freedom Christ has set us free, stand firm therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And then in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then in relation to what Jesus was saying in John chapter 8, especially verses 34 through 36, he says this: very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And the question comes, what comes to mind when you hear or when you say the word freedom? Freedom. We know that Jesus Christ has rescued mankind from slavery of sin and death. He has set man free. He has set man free to serve God and others through faith in him, submitting to Christ. As Scripture says, therefore, we must celebrate this freedom and that we have in Jesus Christ by giving thanks, by giving a witness about him, and by giving service. Charles Stanley says this, but before we get there, the Greek word really describes the primary sense, those underlined there on the screen, the primary sense of freedom in the New Testament is freedom from the bondage of sin. So a person is truly free when they've experienced that new birth in Jesus Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Christ has come into your life and he's broken the bondage of sin, the slavery to sin, once and for all. He's broken it and he's freed you from sin. Charles Stanley says, what Christ has done for us to be free. What has Jesus done for us that we can experience this freedom? Jesus, first of all, he says, through his death on the cross and resurrection, we are free. We are free from the penalty of sin. Like the woman caught in adultery, we are no longer condemned for what we've done. Christ pays our sin debt in full so we can be reconciled to the Father. He goes on and says we are, secondly, released from the power of sin. Our sin nature no longer dominates us, leading us from one unsatisfying and destructive transgression to another. Rather, we are free to seek and know God through the power and presence of his Holy Spirit, as Romans 8 tells us. Jesus said to the woman in John 8, he says, go and what? Sin no more. Why would Jesus say that if we are not set free from the bondage of sin? We know that sometimes we struggle. We face that battle every day. As Romans 6, 7 says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And there's that battle. Sometimes it's in our mind and in our thoughts. And we're prone to wander. As the hymn writer says, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Prone to go back to Egypt, as the Israelites wanted to do. Go back into the muck and the mire. As the proverb says, as a dog returns to its own vomit, we desire to go and stay in that bondage of sin. But Christ has set us free once and for all. The chains have been broken. And then His Spirit takes up residency in our lives. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. So we have that ability to think thoughts that are pleasing to the Lord, to do that which is honoring to Christ, because we are no longer under the power of sin. We are under the power of His Spirit and the presence of His Spirit. And so we can go and sin no more. We know that we can't do it in and of ourselves, in our own flesh, and in our own talent. We have to rely upon the Spirit of God within us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we can say no to temptation. We can say no to that second or third piece of chocolate cake. We can say no, right? We can say no. We can say yes to righteousness. We can say, yes, I will share my second piece of chocolate cake with you. In fact, you can have it. I'm sharing it freely. We're released from the power of sin. Sin no longer dominates a believer in Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? We are liberated from the purpose of sin. Paul said to the Romans, what? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, we have been liberated, set free from the purpose of sin. Sin wants to defeat you, destroy you, and lead you to death. Christ in us, the hope of glory, wants to set you free from all that and give you a purpose to give glory to Him, to live for Him, to shine for Him, and to experience everlasting life in His presence. We are unshackled from the personality of sin. He goes on, to the scribes and the Pharisees, this woman who was caught in adultery in John 8 would always be known as a sinner. Perhaps that is how she thought of herself as well. And we might say this, that there are those in the family of God today who go around and they have been set free from the bondage of sin, set free from the power of sin, set free from the penalty of sin, and yet we still walk around as if we are guilty and we are consider ourselves to be sinners. Period. But Christ has set us free. We're called children of God. Yes, we're unworthy to be called saints. But our Father Abba considers us that. And we're unshackled from the personality of sin. We've been given a new name. A new name, like that chorus. A new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Given by our Heavenly Father. So that's what Jesus has really done for us. Sometimes we forget about that. But we are His, and He is mine. I hope He's all yours. And because of that freedom that Christ has done on the cross, because of His shed blood for you and for me, because He was taken and He was buried and He rose again, as Scripture declares, that third day, hallelujah, defeating death, hallelujah, defeating death and hell, hallelujah, taking the keys of hell away from the evil one, yes, and says to the enemy of our souls, to Satan, hey, your time is coming, you are a defeated foe. One writer says it was like this. It was like he heard this story about the grandpa, and the grandpa was telling this story about one day he came home and his wife was screaming in the kitchen, and there was a snake in the kitchen slithering around, and a poisonous snake at that. And so the grandpa took out a machete, chopped off the head of the snake, and the snake was still going around, thinking it was alive, though it was dead. He says, that's how the enemy is. The enemy's head has been cut off by Christ, defeated foe. The snake still thinks it's alive and powerful, but the time is coming when Christ will return and once and for all bind Satan, and the enemy will be defeated. We have victory in Christ. We are His. We've been bought with a price. We've been set free from the bondage of sin and given the gift of eternal life. And that's why Paul says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not submit again to that yoke of slavery. Don't go back to the old way of life. Pursue the new way of life, which is follow Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and live for Him. And when you do, you will experience that Jesus Christ, He is freedom. And you will be free indeed. So what are we to do as believers? Our response is we are to celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus by worshiping Him, yes, but by giving Him thanks. Giving Him thanks. David cried out, or in the Chronicles it says, chapter 16, verse 35, the prayer was, say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. We are to gather together and give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Yes, for His mercy endures forever, but also because He saved us and given us a great salvation, freed us from the bondage of sin. When Jesus ministered, you remember the story in Luke 17? And Jesus was there and He ministered to the 10 lepers. Scripture says in verse 11 of Luke 17, on the way to Jerusalem, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood a distance and lifted up their voices. I don't know if they had to stay at least 6 feet away because of the pandemic or not, but they did. And they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Who gave thanks? That one who Christ met in a real way. He got up and he went back and he praised God. He gave thanks and he expressed it to Jesus, and he fell on his face before His feet, giving Him thanks. When was the last time you had a real heart-to-heart with Christ and you just basked in His presence and you fell on your face before Him, maybe in the quietness of your room, no one around, and you said, Lord, I praise You for rescuing me from the bondage of sin and giving me new life in You. Part of celebrating freedom in Christ is giving Him thanks. And there's so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Not only the gift of salvation, not only being set free from the bondage of sin and darkness, being rescued from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And if that's hard for you to grasp, you could take a look at the Lord of the Rings, you know, and what kingdom do you want to be a part of there? Kingdom of light, the kingdom of love, the kingdom of holiness, the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of purity, the kingdom that there's no more tears, no more pain, the kingdom of everlasting life in the presence of Jesus Christ and God Himself, versus the kingdom of darkness and wickedness and evil and hatred and discord and dissension and lust and greed. Oh, that we would give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for He rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son whom He loves. Give Him thanks. Secondly, I see that we need to celebrate freedom that we have in Christ by giving Him a witness. Giving Him a witness. Another story of Jesus talks about this demon-possessed man. You know the story, Mark 9, 15 and verses 19 through 20. It says, they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and the crowd were afraid. The story was Jesus came up with a boat with his disciples. That demon-possessed man came, and he was living among the gravestones, and he was shackled, and he was able to break the binds and shackles and so forth. But when Jesus came, he fell before Christ's feet. And the legion cried out, "Don't send us. Send us to that herd of pigs." And Jesus sent him to the herd of pigs, and all the pigs went and drowned themselves. The people became afraid of that and asked Christ to leave them. And the man who was set free, he came to Jesus and he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said this. Jesus did not permit him in verse 19, but said to him, "Go home to tell your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. We've been set free. We've been set free from the bondage of sin and death to proclaim the praises of Him who have set us free, to declare to others the good news of Jesus. Peter says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We're to declare the praises of Him who has set us free. We're to tell others about Him. And then thirdly, we are to celebrate freedom in Christ by giving service. By giving service. By serving the Lord. And through that, serving one another. Galatians 5, a little bit later in the chapter, says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. You were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." In other words, to serve yourself, to be filled with selfishness, to be filled with, as Os Guinness says, that confusing choice and consumerism, and I just want to feed all my selfish appetites. No, but that we serve one another. What does that verse say? It says, "But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Now, I don't think that Paul, when he was writing to Galatia here, was thinking about zombies and how zombies go around and bite and devour one another. But there are ways that we do, isn't it? And it is through our words. It's through our speaking to one another. It's through our actions to one another. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. When the world squeezes you, what comes out of your life? As a child of God, if I've been set free from the bondage of sin, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit and continually being filled with His Spirit, therefore I'm walking in the Spirit. As I'm doing that, as the world squeezes me, as painful as that is, what will come out of me should be the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 20 and 22, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the patience, the meekness. Yes, and the self-control. When the world squeezes me, oh, may they see Jesus. And when the world squeezes me harder, may they see Christ more. When the world cracks this clay pot, man, the crack gets bigger. May Christ shine brighter. And may they come to see His purity, His love, His sacrifice, His redeeming power, His rescuing us from the bondage and the chains that so easily bind us and entangle us. Hebrews chapter 12, we've quoted it much, says, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. In other words, let us lay aside those chains that want to bind us and trip us up, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross as the cross came upon Him, and as He died, as He became sin, who knew no sin for you and for me, as that happened and His Father turned His face away. In that moment, He was squeezed. He was squeezing out His love for you and for me. Despising the shame. And on the third day rose again, and the verse says in Hebrews, and He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, as Hebrews tells us, as our great high priest who intercedes on our behalf, also who is our worship leader, who also goes into the Holy of Holies in heaven, has made atonement for us once and for all, and has given us His righteous robes to wear. We've been set free. Hallelujah. Free. Free to serve one another. To serve one another. How do you serve one another in love? How do you serve your family? How do you serve your neighbor? How do you serve strangers, your friends? You know, in our world, there is this great debate over which is the best chicken sandwich. Do you know that? Some say it's Popeyes. Some say, oh, Kentucky Fried Chicken has one now. Some say it's Wendy's. You know, McDonald's even came out with one. And some say it's Chick-fil-A. Yeah. But do you know, when you go to a Chick-fil-A, whether it's the drive-thru, or, you know, most of them are not open now, but pre-pandemic, you could go inside, and you would say thank you to any of their employees, what do they say? It's my pleasure. That caught on so much that other restaurants started saying that. It's my pleasure. It caught on so much that one popular grocery store, sometimes they use that in their phrase, my pleasure. But in your own walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're among others and we're to serve one another in love, is it really your pleasure? Christ enables us to love our neighbor as ourself. Christ enables us to love and serve one another within the family of God. Christ enables us to do that because we are free from the bondage of sin and death. Wow. So the question this morning, what is the Lord saying to you as we celebrate this wonderful day? As we want to honor Him, because he who has the Son is set free. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It is not an intellectual awareness. It is a life that has surrendered to Christ. I've given my life to you, Lord Jesus. I'm asking that you forgive me of my sin, that you come into my heart and live, and I will live for you. As Paul says, I'm no longer a slave to sin under the bondage of sin, but I am free to be a slave of righteousness, to live for Jesus. I trust that is the desire of your heart this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to our heart. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the wonderful truth of your word, that we have been set free from the bondage of sin and death to experience new life in you, to experience the fellowship, not only of brothers and sisters in Christ, but to experience the fellowship of your Spirit abiding in us. And Lord, it is our desire that we remain in you and you in us, and that we produce fruit that brings glory and honor to you, even as the world squeezes us. And Lord, we confess that sometimes this world squeezes us, and sometimes we're not even aware of it, and we are caught off guard, and sometimes we maybe lose hope, or we are squeezed and something else comes out of us instead of what your Spirit has produced in us. Oh, Father, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that we will be men and women of God who are filled with your Holy Spirit continually, who are not only set apart from sin, but we are set apart unto you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll do that sanctifying work that only you can do, that you'll produce in us Christ-likeness. So, Lord, thank you. And may we celebrate the freedom we have by giving you thanks. May we celebrate the freedom we have in you by telling others of your amazing love. And may we celebrate the freedom we have by serving one another in love because of what Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Lord. This we pray in your name.